For a good while now, we've been looking at the idea that God's love never ends. On the screen, you see a picture there. The next one will have a passage of Scripture from John's writings, 1 John. And he says in 1 John, this is, the first one we start with is the Psalm 136, verse 1. That's a common phrase in the Psalms. The Lord is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. You hear that a lot. Other places, but mainly in the Psalms. What is that saying? Well, God's love is not fickle. It's not changeable. It doesn't change with the weather. It doesn't change with your behavior. It doesn't change because we want it to change. It doesn't change because some people hate God, spit in His face. He still loves people. He made us. He loves us. And so His love endures forever. The reason is it comes from beyond time and space. Outside of time and space, where God lives, is the other side of the speed of light, the other side of light itself. And the other side of light, where God lives, His love is there. It came from there to us. That love came from the eternal world that never ends, that never changes, that never falls, never falters. That love that came from there is an eternal love. That's why it says His love endures forever. His love is the quality of His love is eternal quality. The quality of His love is not hampered by the world and the changeable things in the world. Now, people's love, you have people you love in your life, I'm sure, and that love can change. It's a sad story, but you see it sometimes when people go in a nursing home. They will explain to you, I think they did it for us one time, but they will explain to you that for the spouse, one spouse is in the nursing home, maybe having dementia, the other spouse has a pretty normal life, and they tell that other person that when you come to visit him or her, they may not recognize you, and they may not even know that they're married to you, may not realize that. And sometimes in the nursing home, the old guys may try to strike a relationship with a woman in the nursing home, you know, and all that. And it's funny because they tell you, well, you know, they were married 60 years. What happened to their love? Well, somewhere deep down inside, he still loves her, but his personality now is so shredded by old age and dementia that his love for her is just maybe there somewhere, but it's just not at the top of his mind. So love in a human sense, we know it people say it all the time, divorce rate's about 50%. People say all the time, well, I loved her when I married her, but I don't love her anymore. Or she will say, I just lost my love for him, the way he behaved, I can't love him anymore. Human love is in a broken world. Human love is broken. Because we're in a broken world. Now, there is love that survives, and you may have, I hope you're blessed with that. There is love on this earth, thank the Lord, that survives and does well, and people stay married a long time. But God's love's different. Why is His love different? Oh, it never, never, never falters. It never backs off. It always wants the best for you. It never gives up on you. It never says, that's enough. I've had enough. I can't stand this anymore. God's love won't say that. His love will be like the woman I saw. Literally, there have been more than one story like this. A woman I saw in the news interviewed, and her son had been killed in a drug deal. And so after she did some grieving, she found out she knew the man that had done it. And she went to the prison and said, can I go visit him? A good Christian woman. She said, can I go visit him? Okay. You sure you want to do this? They let her in. She had a visiting session with the man who had killed her son. And she said, I forgive you because I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to, but I do forgive you. I'm getting to the point where I understand and I forgive you for what you did. And she kept going to visit him and going to visit him. And going to visit him and bringing him stuff, whatever was allowed that she could bring him. And I saw them interviewed later, standing together in the prison in the little visiting area, and a news group had gotten a hold of the story and they wanted to go interview these two people. And they interviewed her, and she said, "I just felt forgiveness. I'm a Christian. I felt forgiveness. I wanted to forgive him." And they talked to him, and he said, "I love this lady. She lets me call her mom." He said, "I never had much of a mother, never had much of a family, but mom here," put his arm around her, "comes to see me all the time." That's still human love, but it's getting kind of close, isn't it, to forgiving somebody that took something away from you that you cherished. God's love endures forever, doesn't it? It endures forever. I want you to see something here. We'll try to get this done and get what the Lord wants us to have. Hopefully won't go over time. Next slide. There is no fear in love. The perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. We need to get a revelation on this, that the reason we have fear and worry and anxiety is, what did he say? We haven't grasped yet the power of God's love. We just haven't gotten it yet. And many Christians, most Christians, I guess, face that. Jesus told his own disciples, "Do not worry," right? He said, Matthew 6, he said, "Do not worry. Do not worry. Your Father knows you need all these things. He's going to take care of you." He kept hammering on the idea. He knows. He takes care of the grass of the field, the flowers of the field. He takes care of the birds of the air. Why wouldn't he take care of you? One place he said, "Are you not worth more than many sparrows?" They sold sparrows to be sacrifices. They sold them for a small amount of money. He said, "All right, don't you believe you're worth more than a sparrow? If God takes care of the birds, he'll take care of you." So camp on God's love, he said. Then he said, put first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be taken care of. If you believe in God's love and you say, "I love him, I want to be a part of his family. I want to work with his family. I am his family. I am here. I'm in him." You love him. And as you love him, the anxiety goes away. Does it ever try to come back? Oh, it tries to come back every day almost. But you say, "Nope, not having that today." Not having that today. I saw a lady, some store I was in, she had a t-shirt on, and it said, it had this kind of fist on the front, and it said, "Not today, devil." You have to take that attitude and say, "Not today. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to get scared. I'm not going to be frightened at life. I'm going to..." Let me read you some other translations of that same 1 John 4:18. Sometimes when you read another translation, you get another perspective. This is amplified. "There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But perfect, complete, full-grown love drives out fear." Would you like to have fear driven out? Love casts out fear. Common English Bible. "There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear expects punishment. The person who is afraid has not been made perfect in love." Now, perfect in the Greek does not, or in the English, is not the same as in the Greek. Perfect to us means flawless, but that's not the actual word. In the Greek, it's more the word of completeness or maturity. Maturity. When a young child grows up, say it's a boy and he grows up and he's 25, 30 years old, you say he's grown. The Greeks would have said he's perfect. No, not to us. He'd say, "No, he's not perfect. He's not flawless. No, but he's complete in his growth process. He's still going to age, but he's gotten there, right? From a little boy to a man, he's gotten there." The person who is afraid has not been made perfect in love. Complete Jewish Bible. "There's no fear in love. On the contrary, love that has achieved its goal gets rid of fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The person who keeps fearing has not been brought to maturity in regard to love." The Darby translation. "There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, for fear has torment." When you have a lot of fear, aren't you tormented? Why do we have so much fear? We're expecting something bad to happen. We're expecting something bad to happen, and I probably deserve it. Fear has to do with punishment, right? I guess God didn't want me to have that. I guess God's mad at me. I guess when you stay in anxiety and dread and fear, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. You're waiting for your nice life to be interrupted. You're waiting for something bad to happen because I probably deserve it anyway. Not when love is perfected. The Living Bible. We need to have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. What does that say? We need to have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. His perfect love for us eliminates all dread of what might happen to us. If we're afraid, it is for fear that we might of what he might do to us, and shows that we're not fully convinced that he really loves us. That's the Living Bible. Easy to read version. Where God's love is, there's no fear because God's perfect love takes away fear. It is his punishment that makes a person fear. So his love is not made perfect in the one who has fear. Another translation called The Voice. Love will never invoke fear. Perfect love expels fear, particularly the fear of punishment. The one who fears punishment has not been completed through love. If you believe grace, what is grace? I don't get what I deserve. I don't get what I deserve. That's grace. I don't get what I deserve. I get what Jesus deserves. What does he deserve? Heaven. What does he deserve? Perfection. What do I get? I don't get what I deserve. I get what he deserves. So in Hebrews, they're not going to be on the screen there, but in Hebrews, it says we can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and time of help in time of need. How does it say we should go in? How does Jesus walk around heaven right now? How do you think? He's got a resurrected body, and that's glorified. As he's not an angel. He's so glorified that he looks like the Father, but he walks around in a body that used to be on this earth. And he's in there in the heavenly realms, and he's there as our great high priest. How does he approach his Father? How does he walk around heaven? You say, well, he walk around like he owns the place. Does he own the place? Uh-huh. That's how you're going to enjoy heaven. Oh, I just don't believe that. I just can't believe that. Well, keep reading. Keep studying. Looking at grace, the grace of God. We will be raised, the Bible says, to be. We don't know what we will be, exactly what we will be like. That's in 1 John. We do not know exactly what we will be like, but we will be like him. For we shall see him as he is. As he is now, that's how we're going to be. That's in 1 John, and there's another passage Paul wrote to the Philippian church with a similar idea. That we're going to be like Christ in the resurrection. We're God's kids. He's going to turn the kingdom over to the Father, and we will all be together with him and with the Father. And we are children. We are adopted. We are his family. We have his inheritance. We're not angels. We're not going to be angels. We're children of God. We're God's kids now. And when we get there, guess what? We're still God's kids, and we get new bodies in the resurrection to look just like Jesus. And so when you know he loves you like that, it has that kind of grace in your life, you say, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of the judgment day. We worry so about the judgment day. Let me show you this. Now, this one's not on the screen. But go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. I'll show you the two kinds of people that are in the judgment day. Verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. John's vision. Remember, these are visions that John saw. Visions he saw. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done. Boy, you better be afraid if that's your situation. Judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. Does God need books? I thought he'd have computers by now. No, it's a vision, right? And they didn't know anything about computers, so John's vision was all books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Oh, you die once, and you have to die again. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. What does that say? I want my name in the book of life, right? I want my name in the Lamb's book of life, because everybody else is going to have a real problem. Chapter 21, Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now is the dwelling of God with men, or mankind, and he will live with them, and they will be his people. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. Then he said, write this down. This is John seeing this vision. For these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, verse 6, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this. I will be his God, and he will be my son. Which group you want to be in? I know which group I want to be in. When you think about that, if you have fear of the judgment day, you haven't quite grasped yet the love of God. You're in the group of the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're in the group of the Book of Life and you're going to have all this, just act like it. Say, all right, thank you, my Father, that you've had, and I'm not afraid. I'm not worried. Now, we all have fear, don't we? We all have anxiety. We all have the attack from the evil one. But now you know the remedy. Now you know the remedy. You may have to take an aspirin or a Tylenol for a headache. Sometimes it comes back. What do? Take the medicine again. When the fear starts coming back in, what do? You read more scriptures and you say, I'm not a child of fear. I'm a child of the King. And he has already, Jesus, my Lord, has already bought and paid for everything for me. No cost to me. And so I love him. His love is perfect. Perfected love. There's no fear in love, but perfect love or complete mature love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. If you're scared of punishment, that shows you're not made mature yet in how much God loves you. If you're not a Christian, not in Christ, you need to be afraid of that end time we just talked about. The one who fears is not perfected in love. So how do we get there? Well, here's how we get there. We get there not on our own effort. We get to this place of enjoying the perfected love of God in us, not by our own effort. We have help. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, he talked about this, and he talked about how the Spirit would help us. I will not leave you as orphans, told his disciples. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you the Holy Spirit. He will send the Holy Spirit, and he'll be your guide. He'll be your teacher. He'll be your mentor. He'll be the comforter, counselor, everything you need. Some Christians worry about, well, I'm on this planet. I know I love Jesus, and I know that I'm going to heaven one day, but man, it's hard down here. It's just hard down here. And it's hard down here, and as it's hard down here, you realize I need a lot of help. I need a lot of help. Jesus was telling those disciples, I'm not going to leave you like that. I'm not going to leave you like that. I'm going to give you the help you need, called the Holy Spirit. The next slide, let's look at the next one, says that. Hope does not disappoint us or put us to shame. This is going to be Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Hope does not what? Well, sometimes people have hope and it doesn't pan out. Sometimes we have hope and it doesn't work out. And you say, oh, I was hoping that would work, but it didn't work. He said, no, real hope, Romans 5, verse 5, real hope doesn't do that to you. The NIV says this, hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He did what? Well, it kind of opened your heart up and did what? Poured. He drenched you in his love. Now, you don't see it physically. Why? Because it's your heart. It's your inner being. Have you ever experienced that where you just... I had a breakthrough one time praying, and you just get to the point where that love, it's not a feeling or an emotion. That love of God just wells up in you, and you experience it for a moment, or a few moments. You just experience it. It's like, well, you know what that's like. You know when you walk in a room and somebody loves you and they hug you, right? You come in here and feel the love of this church, love of God. He did what? Hope does not disappoint. You're not going to be disappointed in the way God deals with you on this earth, because he said it doesn't put us to shame because God's love has been poured out where? Where's it been poured out? Your heart. Well, what's your heart? Your spirit. Your heart's not, in Bible terms, it's not the blood pump. It's actually, we get the word heart and cardiac from Greek, because they saw the heart as the very center of your whole being, and that's where God works on you. You can think, but when you can have an experience of God in the inner man, that changes you. It's called being born again. Now you say, but I don't know if I had that or not. Well, I have two ways of looking at that. One is, when you really are born again, you'll know it. And the other one is, born again is sometimes progressive, and it's sometimes you have experiences and you grow and you grow and you grow. If you look back at the day you became a Christian, most of you in here I think are, the day you became a believer, a Christian, you look back on that day, it might have been a year ago, it might have been 30 years ago, and you say, am I better in my relationship with God now than I was back then, before that? If you can detect some growth in your spiritual life, then something did happen to you. Something did happen to you. It did change. If you say, well, I'm not sure I had that. Well, it's a good way to find out. You just ask. See, prayer is not just asking for things that you need. Prayer is a relationship. So you go with to your Father with boldness, or with at least confidence, and you say, help me with this, Father. I don't know how I stand with you. I want to be right with you. I want to have this experience of the love poured out into me by the Holy Spirit. I want to have that, but I don't know if I have. Can you help me with that? Oh, that's music to his ears. It's like, good. Now we're getting somewhere. You've come to me and you've asked for this. Now we're getting somewhere. Amazing. Think about the happiest Christians you know. Now, there are a lot of them that aren't happy, right? One of my friends, a preacher, one time, he said, some people go to church, they look like they're headed to the dentist. Okay, here we go again. When's it going to be over? I got things to do. When the love of God happens, you just differ. Do you know somebody that happened to? I know a few people that happened to. And it's just like, whoo, what happened to you? I don't know. I just, the love of God started working on me. It started working on me. This church prays for you that will happen to you. I pray for you that will happen to you. Oh, life is hard and we need help. Life is hard. We need reassurance that God is taking care of me and He's helping me. If you don't have that, you're in fear all the time. You're just dread and anxiety and worry. There's a lot of things you could worry. You could worry yourself sick, as they say. There's so much out there to worry about and so much in your life you could worry about. But it's not fun, is it? God's love has been poured out into our hearts. How? Who did God poured it out, but what? Through the Spirit. You see, the Spirit of God is God. You have God living in you, believer. I don't know. I don't detect that. Well, because it's so deep in you. He's living by the power of His Holy Spirit in you, and that power in you is so amazing that you become more confident about His love. Confident about that love, you say, I'm starting to realize I don't have to do this by myself. I don't have to do this all alone. He's in me. God lives. I thought God was in heaven at the throne. He is. Newsflash, God can be in two places at once. A million places at once, if He wants to, right? Because God is Spirit. You got fish in the aquarium swimming around. Is that water in every fish in the aquarium? Well, how does that work? They're in the environment of water. We as believers are in the environment of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, He can be in you and you and you and in me all at the same time. And I have believers across the town over here. There are believers all over this area. And then believers overseas. He can do that. Don't worry about that. He can do that. You just say, okay, what's my part in this thing? I want to be a part of that. Talk to Him. That's where I got started. It really is. First time I remember praying, I've prayed as a kid, you know, and in church and all that. But first time I really remember praying and getting an answer, Fort Benning, Georgia, 1969. Hot summertime. Training. They tried to make a killer out of me, but I don't think it worked. And I'm in training. Some of you guys know what that's like, right? And I had to take this physical training. You had to pass these five different tests, physical tests. You had to train. They trained us for it, but you had to pass these five tests. Otherwise, you got recycled. I don't know if they call it that today, but back then it was recycled. What does that mean? Go back and start all over. You've been there 4 or 5 weeks, but you got to start all over. I didn't want to do that. I was already struggling enough. And the first couple of those tests, I didn't do all that well. Now, I was not a churchgoer at that time. I was not really a believer. I just thought that'll take care of itself. There must be a God somewhere, but I'm not bothered with that right now. But I could see myself going back through that training again. And I looked up, I saw the clouds in the sky, and I said, God, You got to help me. Please help me. I don't want to go back through this again. So I went on through the other three tests. I got the score. I passed. And I got out and didn't think much about it. You ever done that? You pray and get the answer, you don't think much about it. But years later, that dawned on me. That was him. He answered my prayer. I didn't have the physical strength to do it, but he answered my prayer, and somehow I got through that. Talk to him. We're all at different places, aren't we? Spiritually, just talk to him. Lord, I want to know how I stand with you. I want to know more. What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be? Hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured out into us by the Holy Spirit. By who? See, the solution to all this is His love. If I grasp it and have a real revelation of His love, I won't be so scared. Well, how do I get that revelation of His love? He said, I'll help you. I'll help you. My own Spirit will come in you, and He will help you. He will bring, when He comes in you, He will bring His love, in a great, God's love. He'll bring my love with Him when He comes in you. He'll bring my love in a great big pitcher, and He'll just start pouring it into you. And you'll start changing. Maybe not right away, but you'll change. And His love will be poured out in you. The next slide, I'll give you a couple more and we can be done, but you can write these down and go back later and study. Fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. I gave you the New International Reader's Version, NIRV, on the screen. I did that because it's a simpler way to put it. NIRV is kind of like New International Reader's Version, is sort of like the easy to read version. But look at what it says. The fruit the Holy Spirit produces is what? Love, joy. When He's in you, what do you got? Love. He does it. You don't do it. He does it. All you do is provide the housing. You say, come. Do what you need to do in me. And what does He bring with Him? Love. Divine love, not just the love you can muster. Divine love. Joy. Maybe that's why so many Christians don't have any joy. They haven't let the Spirit bring what He brings. Love, joy, peace. It is being patient, kind, good, being faithful, gentle, having control of oneself. What is all that? The fruit that the Spirit produces. Who does it? The Spirit does it. You don't do it. He does it. Are you ready for some of that? Are you? You ready for some of that? Well, the Spirit just comes and works on you, and it's not painful. He's got a lot of anesthetic He can bring. and you may lose a couple of friends, and things may change a little bit, some of that, but He will bring His love and joy and peace, the love of God and joy, and it will be poured out into you, and you won't have to do it. And you get that revelation of God's love, and you're not scared anymore, because you know His presence. We've got another scripture there. Jesus said this. This is again the NIRV. Jesus said this. Does anyone believe in me? Then, as the scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from inside them. So get the point. It's not outside in. Your Christian life is not outside in. Where is it? Inside out. You will have rivers, He said. Jesus said this. I didn't make that up, did I? Rivers of living water. What kind of water? Living water is not just H2O. Living water is God's presence. His living water will flow from inside them. By this He meant the Holy Spirit. So He interpreted for us what He was talking about. The Holy Spirit in us is like a refreshing, constant rivers of living water. What do? They flow from inside. So you see great joy on a Christian's face. They may be lying on their deathbed, and you see that joy in their face. Where's that coming from? From inside. Does your inside need to be cleaned out, Gary, where God says, here, have all this fruit of my Spirit. Have all this love. Have all this joy, peace. Don't be so scared. Jesus said to his own disciples several times, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? Well, there's a storm and we're about to sink. He said, no, you should have been looking on the inside. Faith in God. It's inside out. And the last slide is the one where we pray for this notebook. Some of you may not know that, but we have this notebook here that has names in it. You're welcome to add some to it if you want to. Just bring the sheet to me and I'll put it in here. Every name in here, dozens of names, 30 or 40 pages, over 30 pages. People who do not know Christ. Now, don't tune out on me now. You got to help me pray about this. I can't pray this by myself, right? Okay. I know it smells good. Smell it really good now, isn't it? And it's not my cologne either. It's lunch. We've got one more thing here. This is life or death for some people. There are a lot of people that will be in heaven because we prayed over this notebook. A lot of people that will hear the gospel. A lot of people that fell away will all of a sudden come to themselves. I need to be back in church. And they come back. Then they start growing. Some of you are here. Many of you are here because we've been praying over this book. Makes a difference, doesn't it? Did you look at the screen? What does it say? For God, yes, this is an easy to read version. Yes, God loved the world so much that he gave his own son, his only son. So everybody who believes in him would not be lost, but have eternal life. I'll be praying here for a minute out loud. You pray over somebody you know, so maybe somebody you put in that book. You pray over someone you know that does not know Christ. Which judgment do you want them to be in? You want them to be in the Lamb's Book of Life, don't you? So they don't face the other judgment. Father, we are so grateful today for your love that is amazing, amazing. It taxes us sometimes to even grasp it. But your love that is so strong and so amazing, and it is eternal and it endures forever. Because of that great love, Father, we pray for these individuals. We've put their names in this book so we can have a way to look at it, a way to see what we need to be praying over. All these individuals, Father, because of your love, we ask and we expect that you're working in their lives right now. You've been working all the while we've been praying. There are some who in this room today, Father, that may need this. They may need to come to you or come back to you. And there's some in here probably, Father, that have names in mind of their own people, their own families, their own loved ones that need to hear and need to accept. So, Father, we're thankful that you can use us this way, that we're honored to be able to even come to you, but especially honored to come to you on behalf of individuals that do not know the Lord. We're grateful to you. We thank you that you're hearing our prayers because of Christ, because he already paid the price, for them to have freedom in grace. Thank you, Father. In Christ's name, amen.